everybody. This is Morin and Trisha See a Movie, and this week we're going to discuss the Oscars 2014.
Or and other things.
2013? Oscars
of 2013.
But it is 2014 right now.
Thank you for clarifying. So we haven't podcast in a little while.
Yeah, we've been on a hiatus.
So we apologize to our dedicated fans.
I hope that you didn't just abandon us.
But if you did, we understand.
But you're probably not listening then.
So, never mind. And thank you, listener, for continuing to listen.
I mean, by that we mean Brock.
And my brother, DJ.
Oh, yeah, and your brother. And sometimes my brother.
All right. Thank you to our family and friends.
The three of them.
Okay. So, we're going to start with the Oscars, which... Maureen thinks is interesting because she... What were you saying that people... That other people say?
What I was saying, what somebody else said was... No, but I heard that this year's Oscar movies, I guess, are one of the... It's one of the only times where no one has seen the movies. Like, kind of the...
Do you feel like that's, like, the least anticipated? Like, people don't really... Like, is that what they're implying from that, you think?
I don't know what they're implying, but I think they're just trying to say that, like, of all the years, these movies are actually, like, the most non-seen by the normal public.
Non-seen.
I don't know how to make that sentence a little bit... Condense that sentence and make it... The fewest, and clarify it a little bit.
The fewest movies.
I'm going to use the most amount of words that I possibly can in a sentence. So, you know what I mean? Like, not that many people have actually seen all the movies.
And what's interesting about that is that Maureen has seen 98%.
I have seen all the movies.
Except
for Philomena.
Which is supposed to be amazing.
Right.
I also have not seen that.
That is literally the only movie I have not seen. I've seen everything else.
Have seen some movies.
Okay. But so you kind of... I kind of
fall into it. Right. This year... So I know some people don't like the Oscars. If any of our listener has listened to our past Oscar reviews or discussions, I just like the Oscars. Morning and I both.
I love the Oscars.
I love them. They're the night a year that when I was younger... Mm-hmm. Like, my parents would let us leave the TV on during dinner and so that I could kind of watch it because I just loved it.
I just love movies.
Yeah, and I know that it's politics and there's
cheesy,
always things involved
in it.
But I kind of don't care because I like the idea of them and I like the tradition of them.
Yeah.
And they're lovely and they make me feel lovely when I watch them.
Well, I just think, I feel like as you grow up, or as I've grown up, and you learn about, like, the politics of how movies are made.
Yeah.
And how, like, some
it's
things
a little heartbreaking.
Are... Yeah, and some things are blockbusters, and then other things are indies. And even though, like, I know there's politics, it's like, is this an Oscar contender? There is something nice that there is a category of movies that is basically Oscar bait. That, like, actors do these movies because the possibility of them being nominated for Oscars, which sounds kind of shitty, but then on one token, it's like, at least... There is, like, that ultimate goal is, like, just making something that looks good and has, you know, great acting in it and well shot and, like, good sound and...
Because the theory is that, like, this is the best of the best.
Yeah.
Which and isn't always true.
No, I mean, there's lots of good stuff that isn't on this on these lists.
But it's a theory. And when worse comes to worse, like, I do feel like these films are films that take pride in themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they were done seriously. They were done with the intention of... being a product of quality. Not to say that movies elsewhere haven't been, but like these movies are made with that intention.
Yeah.
And also to make money.
Well, they're hoping, I think, in the end, it's like any movie that gets on this list will therefore make money anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, other movies, just before maybe we start, some movies that I feel like were really good this year that aren't on this list, I feel like Fruitvale Station was great. Short Term 12 was one of my favorite movies this year. And those are both indie movies that did not get on the list. And I would actually say, like, this year there was... a big lack of, like, indie movies.
I'll go ahead and say I have not seen any of the movies Maureen just said. Nor have I heard about them previously to Maureen mentioning them about 30 seconds ago.
But I do think... I mean, that's okay, but I feel like... I thought this was a great year for movies.
I also, with the films that are nominated for Best Picture and a lot of the actors who are nominated in a lot of the roles, I feel like I don't know who's going to win. I don't know what... I mean...
I'd say I disagree a little bit. I think it was a great year for movies, but I think we all know what's going to win Best Picture. And it should. I think that 12 Years a Slave...
Oh, I was like, I think you mean 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. I mean, because it was like...
Yeah, it was
amazing. A phenomenal all-around movie.
A lot of people think Gravity's going to win.
Oh, I don't think it will or should.
Well, people think it will.
I mean, I don't...
I don't think it will, nor do I think it should.
Right. We're both on agreement on that.
Super.
We agreed.
So wait, let's talk about the Best Picture nominees for our listener. DJ Ahmed and Brock, we're talking to you. Best Picture nominees are American Hustle. Wait, now I want to talk about them. How they did the nominations.
No, we should. Okay.
Okay. Wait, first.
What? I mean, we should announce them and then talk about how
okay.
they...
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Go for it, Trisha.
Wow. That pause. It's good stuff. Okay. The Best Picture nominees are American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
So what we...
Solid.
Yeah, that's a solid list of movies. What we were alluding to earlier is that I feel like Chris Hemsworth and the president of the Academy...
Who announced them?
Who announced the nominees... that seems like a very odd pairing to me.
Yeah.
It's just like a celebrity and then the president of... We were watching it a second ago and I was just like, what is with this? So anybody else who thought that? Me too. All right. Let's talk about the nominees.
I think, like I said before, I think 12 Years a Slave will and should take Best Picture. Because I think overall it literally had every single piece that makes a great movie. It had beautiful cinematography. It was stunning to watch. Music was great. It was heartbreaking. It was really hard to watch. The acting in it was amazing. I also, on the flip side, I don't know how to say his name ever, but Chitwell Ekwafor, whatever his name is, that he was great, but I don't think it was like he carried it or anybody else carried it.
Right.
It was together as a cohesive piece.
Right.
Was across the board amazing. So I think it's obviously going to win. Like,
well, and something that one of the categories or one of the qualifiers for it is whether or not it made a social impact. You know, and I think that it's obviously always topical.
Yeah.
And interesting and important to reflect on. I was actually at a housewarming/game night a few weeks ago where a friend was talking about 12 Years a Slave and someone who was there said they didn't want to see it because they don't want to address that.
Oh, I was going to actually say the same thing as a lot of people I know that kind of have been like, I know it's probably good, I just don't want to see it. And because they're like, there has been so many slave movies, can we like move on past this? But it's like, to me, this is like the culmination of probably the best movie about slavery that there is.
I also feel like it's important to feel the shame and embarrassment of knowing that that's a part of our history.
Right.
I don't know for those of our listeners who have like been fortunate enough to go to Germany or to travel or whatever, but the part of the German culture, and it's required that every year elementary school students have to go to a camp of some type. Mm. Or there's obviously huge amounts of education that are dedicated to them learning their history about the Holocaust. Yeah. And about everything that kind of happened and what they're responsible for and how it went into effect. And I just think it's interesting to look at that format and the fact that they do that, and that because of the fact that they're like, we need, this happened to us, this is how it happened, pay attention and be smart about it. And this is similar to me.
But I also think like on another level, like again, it's about slavery and yes, we've covered the base, but even that being said, this is a really unique story about a person, and his story is about that. Right. No, and his story is great. And the fact that it's a true story is insane, that like we never really learned about it in school. And the fact that like, even if it wasn't about like American slavery, this person's story is so like,
well, think about sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Like that is a huge thing that happens across the United States that it's like, you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this happens to you.
Yeah.
You get taken somewhere, you're like, I'm educated on this and that, and it's like, it doesn't matter, this is what you are now.
Well, I think that's the thing, too, is like, 12 Years a Slave, the character isn't every man. He is everybody. And so the fact that, like, he's an everybody and anybody could get taken at that time, and again, I feel like a lot of people that I do know that watched it were like, oh, I didn't even know that, like, there were, like, free slaves at that period of time. It was like, that's crazy that, like, we don't really, that's not even... that people don't know that. So it's like, just by even seeing it, there's, I don't know, like, it just feel like not wanting to, address it is not
a reason not to understand.
And Steve McQueen, again, directing-wise, amazing. And I don't even necessarily know how many movies about slavery are directed by actually, like, you know, black men or black women or whatever. But the fact that, like, he's an amazing director and he directed this kind of, like, great movie, it's like, that alone you should want to go see it.
Well, and I think that you really hit the nail on the head, Maureen.
Okay.
When you said this is an everyman, in that it's not necessarily about slavery, it's about injustice.
Yeah.
And I think that that is kind of something that people can be misled about.
Yeah.
And I do think it's, even though it, but there is slavery involved in it, but I can understand somebody not wanting to go see it and having reservations about it or feeling uncomfortable and not wanting to introduce that element into the lives, and that's their choice. But I would still, I agree that I certainly hope that it wins.
Yeah.
Also, we love our Michael Fassbender.
Oh my God. He's sure so crazy in this movie.
We sure do. We love him. And granted, he's crazy town.
Oh my God. He's so crazy.
Did you know that in the scene,
with the little girl,
spoiler alert,
which is the creepiest scene ever,
when he rapes her?
No, the little girl that he's just like holding. He's not wearing pants, and he's just like holding a little girl.
Sorry, I didn't know that's where you, what you were talking about. So
I was like, "That's not in the movie."
No, when he rapes, I can't remember that girl's name.
I can't remember.
She's amazing. She's
gorgeous.
God. But when he rapes her, Michael Fassbender passed out after that scene. He fainted.
Oh,
I know. What? I mean, also good.
But like, feeling bad about that.
But I think that's I don't know. It's just interesting to think about. Like,
well, if you haven't seen the movie, we've talked about it a lot.
Well, I just, why are you listening?
Well, I mean, I think again, we know.
Sorry to segregate. DJ, maybe. I don't know, of DJ Brock or Ahmed. I think they've all seen that movie.
Yeah.
We have other listeners.
We'll touch on like the, I feel like,
yeah,
we're not necessarily going to go into in depth into each movie, but I do think that that's going to win. So I think that it,
I don't really have much to contribute to any other film right at this time, because I feel like the things that I want to talk about those other movies come up later.
Okay. I mean, I'll just, which movies have you seen?
I've seen everything that's nominated except,
well, here, let's go through it. We've both seen American Hustle.
Both seen Captain Phillips.
Yes.
Both seen Dallas Buyers Club.
Yep.
Both seen Gravity.
Yep.
Both seen Her.
Yep.
Both have seen 12 Years a Slave.
Yes. And I've also seen Nebraska and Wolf of Wall Street, which were two of my favorite movies this year.
And neither of us have seen Philomena.
Right.
But we hear it's super.
Right. But as overall movies, I think my other, again, my favorites, 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street, so much fun. I know it got a lot of flack for being misogynistic and kind of like glorifying drugs. It's just a fucking good movie. It's just fun and bad.
Can you tell me, without exposing anything, since I haven't seen the film, Maureen?
Yeah.
What did you? Because there have been a lot of people who have been like, "It's a waste of my time. It was overdone. It was too much." Like, what about it was fun to you?
To me, everything you just said is true. It was overdone. It was over the top. But that's these characters. Like, I don't think that like people in movies have to be. They don't have to be, like, a good example, and they don't have to show, like... I mean, the guy does go to jail at the end. So, to me, it was just like...
Way to ruin it!
No, but he's...
Oh, okay.
In this movie, it's about a guy who, like, lives to the limits. And it actually shows you. It doesn't just say, like, take the Hangover, where it's like, oh, these guys had a crazy party, and it's like, it's barely crazy. This movie is about a guy that's crazy and does crazy amounts of drugs and like has crazy amounts of sex. It shows you it all. It pushes it in your face, and it's like, this is the way these guys lived. And again, it's just like debauchery gone crazy. And something about watching these characters live in this world is fun, because it's just the actors going crazy.
Right. So I know that I am very much the everyman, and so I'm sure I'll probably like it.
Yeah.
But with that said, do you think that it's necessary for a film to show you all of these pieces rather than letting your mind naturally fill in the blanks?
I don't think it's necessary, but I also don't think that it's the reverse either, where like
it's not less than
shouldn't show you
it.
Yeah, like I think that's why to me it was kind of refreshing, because it was like I couldn't believe some of the stuff that he was doing, and just some of the physical stuff. Like, I'm not saying everything about it was great, because there were parts of it that I thought were tedious and annoying, but overall I just thought it was a lot of fun. And I just thought, like, I love Martin Scorsese, and it was just like Martin Scorsese having fun with Leonardo DiCaprio, and like Leonardo DiCaprio being this kind of like horrible guy, and just like living in that character.
Well, because, and I do think that for some audience members, it's better to let their mind fill in the blank because of what extreme is to them. So what extreme is to them is their own reality or whatever. And so,
but then,
like,
you know,
oh,
what?
I get it. That's
then
crazy.
Read a book.
Well, but whoa.
No, but I mean, like, part of watching a movie is seeing images. And so, like, if Martin Scorsese wants to shove this in your face and down your throat, that's kind of the point of the movie. It's not to fill in the gaps of, like, creating a movie in your mind.
Well,
it's,
but, no, I totally agree that that,
yeah.
I mean, again, I haven't seen it, but I think that that's, the people who may tend to be reacting that way, it could be, because of the fact that for them, that was so much further
than what they were comfortable seeing.
But that's, I think,
that's the point.
Yeah, and from my perception of everything, that's what it seems like. So, anywho, at some point I will see it, and I look forward to it, and we'll probably not report back to the audience, but because it's going to be too late. Yeah. You won't care anymore. You'll be like, next, Trisha. And I'll be like, sorry, guys, I just got around to it.
On the flip side, American Hustle, I don't really want to go much into it, but...
I don't want to talk about it right now because I have a lot to say about it later.
Okay, then let's skip that. Captain Phillips, thought it was a great movie. Love Tom Hanks. So sucky that he's not nominated.
Yeah. It was a movie that made me... Captain Phillips scared me and affected me in a different way than 12 Years a Slave did.
Yeah.
In the fact that these people are so desperate and, like, they have no choice. Yeah. In 12 Years a Slave, the people who are suppressing everybody else have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
In Captain Phillips, they really don't.
No.
I mean, their choice is to be killed.
I mean, Captain Phillips is so... Because, wait, again, it's shot differently. It's on a boat. It's like, it's so visceral.
It's on a boat. Huge.
It's very visceral.
That's hugely
visceral in a different way than...
I'm never going to get over the fact that you just said it's on a boat. On a boat. I just want you to know that.
Captain Phillips is on a boat. It is. I don't know if you knew that. It was on a boat.
It's on a boat.
And just that scene with Tom Hanks when he gets rescued. Oh, my God.
Also, the fact that he's like, him recognizing the fact that he's like, they're going to kill us all. You're not going to get away with it. Like, what a shitty place to be. To be like, this isn't going to happen. And to know that, like, that the outcome of that involves, like, your murder by your own country.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's devastating.
All right, Captain Phillips.
Dallas Buyers Club. I think we're going to address later, most likely. Gravity, probably the same. Because Miss Sandra Bullock's, like, the main thing to talk
about. Well, I would say the one thing about Gravity, I think where we need to talk about it is the acting. I would say it shouldn't win Best Picture overall because it's a great visual piece. It's great acting. But I would say, like, as a story, no thanks.
I wasn't that into Gravity. So I thought that the sound...
I saw it. It was the only one I saw twice in the theater.
Interesting.
But I saw it once in 3D and once in regular.
I think the sound in Gravity was amazing.
I mean, I think the images, the sound... But I think, and the acting was good, but it, again, the actual story, a little bit cheesy, a little bit like kind of run this ground, but it's fine in the sense of that, to me, that wasn't a movie about story. It was about atmosphere and like moment.
I mean, I guess I'll say it now and I just won't say it later. I didn't like Gravity very much. I wasn't particularly drawn to it because I didn't at any point attach to Sandra Bullock's character.
Well, because she was very, like a stereotype.
I didn't care.
She did a good, we'll talk about her acting.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't really care about her character at all. I cared about George Clooney's character, which is interesting. Like, as soon as he wasn't in it anymore, I kind of lost interest in the movie, which rarely happens for me as an audience member.
Yeah.
So, I just was like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm so happy that so many other people enjoyed it. It just didn't affect me in that capacity.
Okay. I loved.
I just think it's a darling love story in a terrible way.
I feel like this movie is one of Spike Jonze's best. And he has not very many movies, but the ones he does have are like, I mean, I feel like they all kind of like pack a punch. And I really like this one. I thought the acting was great. I thought the visuals, the warmth, the texture of the movie, the space that they live in, even just kind of like how they'd show like little things floating through the air. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of comes together in a really nice way. I would say maybe some people think it's pretentious, but
I don't care about those people who say that.
No, I mean, it didn't bother me.
That was rude that I just said that. I take it back. Those people are entitled to their own opinion, but I just think that, so maybe it is pretentious. Does that mean it isn't a good film?
No, I mean, I think, no, I don't think that at all.
So I just think it's interesting when people, like, label something as one thing that's like, okay, you can, that's fine.
I think that's also a way of people saying, like, they just don't relate to something. And that's okay. Like, you don't have to relate to every movie. And just because you don't relate to it, does that make it pretentious? And for some people, the answer is yes. But I thought it was, like, it was about connecting.
Well, and I think something that I really liked about Her and that I appreciate a lot is that they didn't make him being in love with an operating system.
So weird.
Weird. Yeah. They didn't make it something that no one related to.
Yeah.
It was something that everybody wasn't doing, but it was still okay in some capacity. Yeah. I really appreciated the fact that they did that because I think as an audience member, it makes you understand how to see it.
Yeah.
So you're like, this isn't weird. And so then you don't separate yourself from Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because you then relate to it because his crowd, his environment and community is telling you it's okay to accept him in this position.
Well, I also think like it does do that. And I think another thing about that is that it's set just slightly enough in the future that that is the logical step of how people date now. Well, people are on Tinder, they're on OkCupid, and they talk to people for like a couple months before you meet. And so you're like, they're not real until you meet them. They're just a person you're talking to.
A couple months. I mean, nobody on Tinder ever actually.
Not Tinder, maybe.
They're like okay. Six people. I've known some people
they're like, oh, we've been talking for a few months. I'm like, you're not really dating somebody.
Well,
but that's like, that depends on the intention. Some people's like, they have a relationship online. And if you've never met that person, you never interact with them, it's just, this is just a step further than that. So I think that's also what was nice. It was like,
you just blew my mind a little bit. I like hadn't thought about it in the way that you just described it.
Right? That's why I think it really works because you buy into it that you, people are almost there.
I just want you to reiterate one more basic. This is probably everybody else is like, yeah, Trisha, duh. Sorry, team. Had a bottle of wine. Never mind. Ahmed, we're not drunk. Okay. But I think, so basically, you say it because you're going to say it better than I did. Do you want me to highlight the point that I'm referring sure. to? Is the fact that where we're at right now is that people will have relationships online with somebody for 3-4 months before they meet them.
Right.
And so this film is just one step removed from that. So virtually, you're saying that these people are having
this kind of
a relationship.
Yeah.
An operating service relationship to a certain extent. It is different, though, because this person, because, like, the operating service is there to serve you, right? Even though she's evolving.
But think about people online. I mean, before you meet somebody, you want them to like you, so you're being very affable or, like, you know what I mean? You're not going to be showing the bad parts of yourself.
Yeah, but if somebody says something that you're not interested in, you're like, peace out, brah.
Right. But I just thought, in the way the movie did it, it set it up nicely where, you know, it had him kind of do the phone sex thing, which is like, okay, people do that.
How do you feel about her having an orgasm?
I mean, again, to me, this movie, it placed everything perfectly. Like, it was all set up perfectly for you to buy anything that happened.
That's the only thing. I mean, I was fine with it. But then afterwards, that was the only thing that I was like, I'm just not sure.
I mean, but again, part of it is like, people fake orgasms, right? For whatever reason. So if this OS system wanted to be a person and wanted to feel joy and feel whatever, maybe she wanted to, like, again, pretend or experience whatever this thing is with him. So
she, to her,
I don't know if that's like the truth of it.
You helped me get there. In that, I guess this is different for every listener in this capacity, but every audience member as far as how they accept the scene.
Yeah.
But it is that to her, she's expressing herself and her enlightenment, enjoyment, her whatever, to the maximum capacity in which she feels is appropriate. So she's channeling whatever she thinks is happening.
Right.
And that's just as real to her
as
Joaquin Phoenix's orgasm, climax, etc.
Because I think on some degree, if you believe that she can feel happiness, then the scale on that is that then she could have an orgasm.
We're really working through this tonight, Maureen. We're just really.
But that's why I think this movie works on just a different level, because it really does set up the world in a way that everything builds on upon itself. So each thing that escalates, you believe because they set it up in such a way before for you to buy that it's happening.
Yeah.
For me.
I wasn't like turned off by it when it happened, but that was the one thing that I thought about afterwards that I was like, you don't know.
Yeah.
But she does know in her own realm.
That's, yeah.
She knows in the capacity that she thinks she knows. Just as any of us do.
Her was great. We both liked her.
Yes, we both liked her. Okay.
And then I'll quickly just talk about...
We haven't even gotten into the actors yet.
Well, I just have to mention Nebraska because to me that was all... I think this movie... I love Alexander Payne. I love all his movies. But to me this was kind of a return to his style of movie that I love, which was a little bit more humorous. His last movie, what was it called? Oh my God, I'm just blanking. The Descendants was a little bit of a downer, which was good. But this movie had a really nice, the humor was back in a way that I love. And again, it was shot in black and white. I think I love Bruce Dern. I mean, I might be biased too because I was at the premiere at AFI and I got to hear Bruce Dern talk, interviewed by Leonard Maltin and the interview, introduced by Quentin Tarantino. And just the whole viewing experience for me was amazing and just incredible. But I definitely think this movie, I think, has been a little bit overlooked this year.
So I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah.
But not in depth. I also haven't seen it. And in Maureen's defense, not that she needs to be defended, she kept being like, Trisha, the next movie we podcast should be Nebraska.
It's great.
And then I haven't seen it.
Again, it's like, it, to me, this movie is just filled with a lot of real moments about people. And so I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it captured the essence of realness, which is nice.
So then we didn't see Philomena.
Nope.
And then we already talked about 12 Years a Slave and Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
Next category.
Okay, if you're still with us.
Which you, this is the longest podcast this possibly is the longest we've ever podcast, done. Because yeah. We're like a 12-minute podcast.
So we're going to, well, there's 17. Less actors, but we're gonna punch through them.
Best actor in a leading role. Christian Bale, American Hustle. Oh, wait, you should be doing this.
Okay, my turn. Best actor in a leading role. Christian Bale, American Hustle. Bruce Dern, Nebraska. Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street. Chitwell Ewafor.
Great, you did great.
12 Years a Slave. And Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club.
I absolutely can have to be honest that I haven't seen Nebraska or The Wolf of Wall Street. However, with that said, I think that Matthew McConaughey should win.
Okay, here's how I feel about this. I feel like this category is a tough category. I think every single person in this category brought their A game. Like, not one weak link in the bunch. But that being said, the person that I would love to, I mean, I feel like now I'm an old person. I want Bruce Dern to get it. I feel like he is a seasoned actor that I don't know if is. I don't think he's ever gotten an Oscar. He's been around forever. And in Nebraska, he plays against his type. So the fact that, like, he does something in such a... He's... I mean, I don't even know how old he is. He might be, like, in his 80s or something, 70s or 80s.
Just take a guess. I like it.
So the fact that, like, he's playing completely against his whole career in this movie, I love. And, again, he's older, so I feel like I would... And I think he'll get it. I think the Academy loves to do that.
Interesting.
So I think my vote is for Bruce Dern.
I can't... This. I feel like I'm not allowed to vote, kind of, because I haven't seen all the movies. Yeah. But I was so impressed by Matthew McConaughey's transformation.
Yeah.
Both physically as well as... I really feel like he embodied the character. And, like,
yeah.
I didn't see Matthew McConaughey. I saw his character. And I was very, very, yeah. very impressed by it. And I think he really threw himself into it. And so...
I think he did. But to me, there was something... To me, it was... I thought it was great. I cried in the movie. I thought it was beautiful. He did a great job. He did a great transformation. But there was something about it that was so, like, I'm transforming for this character. So I... To me, where you didn't see it, I felt like I saw it. So, on the other hand, I would say Christian Bale... And American Hustle, again, wasn't my favorite movie, but I did think Christian Bale was great. But I did think I saw a little bit of, like, Christian Bale putting on the the weight,
I don't...
the hairpiece. But to me, the other two are the strong, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, for how great he is, he was so great in this movie. And then Chitwell Ewafor, he just looked
so great. Both of them. I mean, I really do.
I feel like anybody that won it deserves it.
Agreed. Hear, hear.
So
also, my peace loving Leo, 8th grade self would love for Leonardo DiCaprio to win.
But he was so good in that movie.
That's I would love for him to win because he stole my heart in Romeo and Juliet, and that's it.
For me, it was Basketball Diaries.
Yes, I. So
the fact that I saw that in, like, junior high school. Let's also
talk about. Anytime Leonardo DiCaprio comes up, we go on our Leo tangent. The fact that, like, I was obsessed with him and watched all of his movies and watched Basketball Diaries, and so it was so traumatized by the bathroom scene in which a gentleman gives him a blowjob, and I.
Who is the actual guy he's playing?
Oh,
Lewis Carroll, is that his name?
You just won fan of the hour. You totally just won that. And you knew his name.
Yeah.
Wow.
I told you.
I got chills, Maureen. That's a trip, man. I don't even know what to say now. That was such a, like, you pulled that out of your hat.
I mean, that's a weird thing that I remember.
Yeah. I've never been more
proud of you. I hope that I'm right. I hope that that was a correct statement.
I'm not even going to look it up.
Okay.
I'm not even going to look it up. Let's move on.
Okay.
Nothing will stop that. Best actress in a leading role. Amy Adams, American Hustle. Cate Blanchett, Blue Jasmine. Sandra Bullock, Gravity. Judi Dench, Philomena. And Meryl Streep, August Osage County.
I'm right off the bat, I think it's a, I think Cate Blanchett's a sure win.
I do too. I totally do.
Because that movie, you watch that movie and you come out of it and you have anxiety. And she's, the movie is hard to actually watch.
You know what? It's funny. I think that I've had anxiety ever since I saw that movie.
It's,
and I am a relatively calm lady.
It was, it puts you kind of in a weird headspace. And I think that is all because of Cate Blanchett. Because she's so neurotic and she's so manic and she's so just like nonstop in that movie that after you watch it, you're like, I can't breathe. I am feeling like how much she's, it's like being around somebody that is a manic personality and you're just like, get away from me because you are making me crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel like watching that movie is like having a friend like that.
I agree. And I think that it's unfortunate. Meryl Streep is so great, but she's not going to win again.
You know, I did not love that movie.
You know what? I actually didn't either. But I also, I feel like there were good individual performances, but yeah. I don't feel like it came together as a piece.
To me, it just seemed like a play.
Well, it is a play.
Right. But it's a movie. So adapt it to a movie. Don't just film a play. It was just basically a bunch of soliloquies up on the screen.
Well, yeah.
Which are people that I want to watch.
So then it shouldn't be nominated for, like, Best Adaptation.
Right. No,
right?
It should fail, but it doesn't, fail that.
Yeah. Right? But I also, I don't know that I would say it's the best movie. Like, it's not the best picture, but I don't think that takes away from the actress' performances.
I think it does a little bit. Because I think, to me, I didn't really believe any of the stuff that they were saying. Mm. I felt like Meryl Streep's scene at the dinner table was great. But that being said, it was like, I just felt like you were saying words that they didn't feel real. Right. And I've actually had a conversation with my friend. Some things play out on stage because your suspension of disbelief is different for a play than is for a movie.
Plus, there's that, like, energy that happens in a live show when everybody's, like, on the same page. You know, the whole audience, everybody's like, yep, I accept what you have told me to be true.
Like, I bet if I saw Meryl Streep do this on stage, I would be like, it was the best fucking thing I ever saw. Seeing it in a movie where things are edited and it's, like, you're not feeling the words, like, in the room with you, it just feels like, like you're just stating a soliloquy.
I gotcha. Unfortunately, we haven't seen Philomena, but I'm sure Judi Dench is great.
Yeah.
I think that Sandra Bullock did a good job with Peace. Oh, in Gravity?
Yeah.
I really do. But again, I still didn't attach to the character, and I think
what's hard about her in this movie is I think I did attach to her. In the moment where she was doing, like, she had her real moment. I think all the stuff about her having a child and being like, I avoid Earth because it's like, that bullshit stuff was like, I thought she did a good job with it, but it was so horrible and sort of horribly written, that part. But that being said, the moment that she's in that thing by herself and she's like, here's the dogs barking and she barks.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to die today. I thought that, I cried. I was like, that, just that scene alone is obviously what got her nominated, because that scene, you feel sadness
that,
like, in her.
Yeah, in that scene.
I mean, that scene where she starts barking and she literally just, she has that moment of clarity where she's like, I'm going to die right now.
Yeah. And I will say that, like, I'll pull for Sandra a little bit because she is an actress who, she's very likable as a person. And she has been very candid about being herself in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And also about, she's an actress who tends, initially, and for a long period of time, was like a comedic actress. Like, I use quotes. Yeah. That was kind of her experience. And she's gradually kind of made that transition.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see her on that path. But I don't know.
I mean, I love her. I think she's great.
I don't think she's going to win, though. And then I have a lot of, I
have mixed emotions about Amy Adams in America.
I thought she was fine. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about Jennifer Lawrence in it, and I forgot that we weren't going to do supporting.
Oh, yeah. I thought Jennifer Lawrence was great.
You know what? I think let's talk about American Hustle for 2 seconds, and we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Our audience is not used to a long podcast.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But if you love the Oscars, you're totally invested in this conversation.
So I think I came out of American Hustle, and it was fun and fine, but I didn't, like, love it. And my irritation with Jennifer Lawrence and her nomination and everybody's feedback toward it, I think she's great. But I feel as though, in my opinion, because she has a lot of fans who are, like, super diehard, and that's good for her and good for all of you.
Yeah.
I think I've seen her in things that I've loved her in, but I've also seen her in things that I think she's been cast too young in.
Yeah.
Which I think she was too young in this. I know that she's supposed to be, like, the, you know, like, young, hot thing, but I think she was too young in comparison to Christian Bale. And I also think that she did this part well, but I can't say that I feel as though, I feel like there are other actresses in the industry who could have played this part equally as good or better. So I don't think she deserves to win an award for it.
Right.
That isn't saying that she did a bad job. I think she did great. I think she played the character how it was written.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the dialogue, that she played the character that was written. So I feel like there were other actresses who also could have done that.
I think I agree with everything you're saying. I, on the other hand, I thought I liked her a lot in the movie, and I enjoyed her in the movie, but I do think you're right in the sense of it wasn't like this, there was nobody else that could play that role but her. No. But I thought...
So then why are you going to win an award for it?
I don't know. I mean, because people want her to win an award for it.
But that's what makes me a little... I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of arguing with myself. I mean, I still don't think she deserves to win it, but...
I mean, I think that she will win it because...
Think she's going to win it?
I think because her category is... Her category... Well,
Lupita should win.
For 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave? Are you fucking serious?
No, she should win. She should win. I don't know if she will win.
She better win.
I agree. She should win over... But again... To me, I liked her better than I liked Amy Adams in American Hustle. So the fact that, like, Amy Adams would win over her... Because Amy Adams was good.
Yeah, but...
I thought
Jennifer Lawrence's character was more fun, so she's innately more likable. So I think that as an audience member, you're I think everybody's going to kind of like her more.
I think that, like, I just didn't buy Amy Adams as that character. I didn't buy her... I thought her body looked banging, and she, like, looked great, and she was good in it. But I just kind of didn't buy her as that... As that con art. That's actually my problem with American Hustle, as opposed to 12 Years as opposed to Wolf of Wall Street, is American Hustle told me that they were hustlers.
Yeah.
They kept telling me, these people are great hustlers. I never saw it. Wolf of Wall Street, I saw them hustling. So one movie showed me things, Wolf of Wall Street, and American Hustle told me. And a good movie should show you, not tell. So to me, in American Hustle, I was told that Amy Adams was this blah, 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 this. Like, she never really convinced me on screen that she was a great hustler. So that, to me, is why I think she failed a little bit in that role.
Maureen, what? I think you're on point this evening, more so than you have been any other time. That's all I have to say.
Well, our podcast has been a little long this time.
Are we done?
I think so.
All right.
I mean...
Well, I was just looking at more.
Guys, let's celebrate movies. Let's keep talking about them. Again, everybody did a great job, but that's what's fun about just... Getting to talk about, like, why something works for you or doesn't work for you, because everything is so... Everybody has a different opinion.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, again, why I love Oscars. It's just about celebrating movies.
Yeah, and I think that everybody has an opinion these days.
They do.
Which we can't hit on because we have a podcast.
Yeah.
But I do think that sometimes that can be... to the detriment of the quality of work, because then people start playing their pieces toward the masses.
Which is never good.
Rather than toward the quality of work. And I think that there is a good amount of quality within these nominations and within some of the films that have come out in 2013. I'm certainly looking forward to the films of 2013.
I hope that they're just as good as this
year. Did I just say 2013 or 14?
You said 13, but I knew
you meant
this year.
2014.
We started the podcast off debating years, and we'll end it debating the years.
Superb. We plan on doing a post-Oscar podcast.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. It will most likely not be immediately after the Oscars.
No.
But we do plan on doing that. So
I think we should also do Lego Movie.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god, go see it. It's so good. Just go see it.
I'm just not sure.
Oh my god, Trisha, no. It's so good. It's so good. You have to go see it now.
Do I need to be drunk or on some sort of drug?
No, don't. Just go see it. First 15 minutes, best 15 minutes of a movie in a while. So great.
Your hands are in your pockets right now. We're sitting down.
Like, I'm serious.
It was like you said it, so like, no.
Well, even if you are doubtful, now we have to do it because I loved it and you're doubtful, so... It's going to make for a great podcast, guys.
We haven't had a tiff in a long time.
No. We haven't done a podcast in a while.
It's true. We're sorry for our diehard fans. To our diehard fans who have been emailing us, we're sorry that we don't get back to you sooner. However, if you want to email us and hear a response at some point in the future, feel free to do so. We're Maureen and Trisha.
See a movie.
Nope.
Oh.
Yes, we are. We are Maureen and Trisha. See a movie. However, if you want to email us, you can email us at MaureenandTrisha@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Twitter. Yep. And our handle is @discussmovies.
How often do we do that?
Sometimes.
All right, that's fair. We're consistent. Like us on Facebook or subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes, please subscribe to us on iTunes.
Feel free to write us a review if you want.
Continue to go see movies. See all the movies that are out this year.
Yeah. Also see live theater because that's fun too.
Yeah. Just go culture yourself.
Experience stories, go do stuff. Man.
Stop listening to this podcast and get out there.
Or like listen to this while you're on the way somewhere.
Yeah, if you take the subway, we're great listening. Great to listen to the subway.
Or the bus.
Or if you have a car that's hooked up to
iTunes.
Also,
we support public transportation, apparently.
Yeah, we do.
We should get sponsored by like the Metro.
Oh, that'd be great. What if we just like played in the Metro when you were there?
People would know.
Okay, maybe they wouldn't take
also,
the Metro.
Also, we're rated as explicit, so they wouldn't do that.
Mm. All right, guys.
Talk to you later. Thanks for listening, and hope that you have a great March.
Oscar.